Well, let me tell you, I have been trained very well by my wife. I have learned so many things this month and a half already. I have learned how to use a washer machine. My wife doesn't like that dishwasher, so she taught me how to clean the dishes and glasses and everything. So it has been a really nice process, being by myself with my kids and being a mom and dad at the same time is not easy, let me tell you. Now I know that, but it has been really a good experience for me. So, and today, as I was preparing for preaching, so I thought, well, beside my agenda and all my things, I had to preach. That's a good thing. So I'm really happy. I'm really excited to be here. Are you happy to be here this morning? Can you smile a little bit? That helps me a lot. When you are so serious, it's like, what are you doing up there? Don't make me feel that way, okay? So let's try to have some fun today here. And I know God is going to speak to our hearts. And I feel really confident that the Holy Spirit has a plan for this morning. And I know God is going to touch your heart. Not because of me. It's because He is here. So how many of you came ready for receiving from the Holy Spirit? Amen. Well, I feel in my spirit. I feel how the anointing is going to flow through what we're going to speak today. And when Pastor Sam asked me to preach about what we're going to talk today, I felt really excited because I feel in my spirit something very strong that I really want to share with you. So you have your Bibles. We are going to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And all of us, we know this story. And as my beautiful daughter was reading the Bible, I'm going to ask her to come forward because she's going to read for me also this scripture. And we're going to read chapter 2, verse 8, all the way to verse 20. So I'm going to ask her to read because she's so good for reading. I'm so bad for reading, and I'm trying to learn that. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8.
Hi, it's me again. Okay, so anyways, let's get to the story. Okay, so the verse you guys have heard so many times, but let's get to it. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what has been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they have been told.
Thank you, Nicole. Awesome. Well, when Pastor Sam asked me to preach about this, good memories came to my mind because a few years ago, when I was young, well, I'm still young, but a little bit younger, I remember I always enjoyed to be part of praise and worship teams, and at the same time, I love to prepare dramas and plays for the church. And I remember a few years ago, I wrote a play for the church. It was a story about an angel. The title of this was The Dream of an Angel. That was my script. And it was about this story. And when you read this story, you get amazed to see how when Jesus was going to be born on earth, many miracles happened. And especially because angels started to show up. And you see how the angel, Gabriel, the angel, came to Mary, to Joseph. And you see how they move and they prepare everything. And it sounds really amazing to see how the angels were really excited about this. So when I was reading this scripture a few years ago, I decided to do this script, but it was going to be for a Christmas. But I decided to put this script like from the point of view from angels, how they saw everything. And about this one, and I want to share this because I want you to get in this dimension of the spiritual realm. And my story was kind of funny at the same time because I'm a funny guy. I try to be funny sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work, but sometimes works. And I decide to make it fun at the same time. And I'm going to share with you the story really quick. And we made the production, and we made a nice scenography for everything. It was so cool. And I'm going to share the story with you because it's going to help you to what I'm going to share later. But this story was about this angel. Pastor Randy was sharing last Sunday that there are like different kind of angels. So, but I'm going to put it this way in my script. And I'm going to tell you the story according to my way because I'm the preacher and I can say whatever I want because I have the mic, right? So I'm not going to explain you according to the Bible. But in my script, it says that there are angels that are warriors, that they fight for us. They really like to protect you. But there are another ones that are messengers. They come to earth and they give you message. And they go back to heaven and they say to God whatever they want. But there are another kind of angels. They are singers. They are just on the throne of God and they sing. Only what they do, they worship for the rest of their lives and eternity. They just worship. That's what they do. And this angel is one of them. It's one of the singers that they are just worshiping God all the time. Well, this is the thing. When God created the earth and the universe and he prepared everything, this angel is looking how God was so excited about preparing our home, our house. He saw how he made the earth, the skies, the animals, the mountains, and he was so excited. And as soon as God finished with that, he started to making Adam and Eve, and he saw how he started to prepare on earth everything and how he put with his hands your beautiful eyes, your ears, everything. And he was so excited. And these angels is looking from heaven because these angels, the singers, they were not in the plan of God, was not that they come to earth. They were only at heaven. So from heaven, these angels is looking how God is preparing. And after he finished with Adam and Eve, how he started to talk to them and he started to have communion. And he saw these angels, he saw how every day God came to earth and talked to Adam and Eve and spent time with them. And he was like, wow, how he was so impressed how God loved human beings. And every day, God came to Adam and Eve and he talks to them. So he never understood the love of God for human beings, but he got so excited about it. So but you know the story. Adam and Eve fail and communion was broke. And he got the experience to see after that day how God came back to heaven. He was sad because that relationship was broken. Now he has to use angels to come to earth to communicate with them, but he's missing that communion. And this angel, he felt the pain. He felt how God felt every single day because he is not able to come back to earth and have the communion that he had previously. So he saw how Gabriel, Michael, and you know the story in the Old Testament, how these angels came back and forth, how so many times warriors came to earth. And he was so touched by that. And he always asked Gabriel, he said, Gabriel, when he knew that Gabriel was coming to earth, he said so many times, can I go with you? And he was trying to go with Gabriel, but he said, no, you are a singer. You have to stay here on heaven. So get away. And sometimes he was holding his legs and saying, no, please take me with you. And Gabriel said, no, you are a singer. There's nothing for you. The only thing that you know is to sing. Like Gideon is trying to get singers, right? There are guys that they know, they don't know nothing else, just sing. Well, this angel was one of them. So he was grabbing and trying to come to earth. But you know the story? Jesus came to earth. But before that, God was preparing all this time. And in that time, before Jesus was born, he saw how the angels, the messengers, the warriors, all of them were moving back and forth, and they were really excited. He saw this angel. He saw how they were preparing and getting excited about the announcement, about everything. And when this angel knew that Gabriel was coming to Mary, he grabbed Gabriel and said, "No, now this time you're going to take me down with you. I want to go with you because I want to be part of this." And Gabriel said, "No, get away from me. Come on, move out of my way." And Gabriel was getting upset because even he's delaying things. And remember when Gabriel spoke to Joseph, he came at night. Well, according to my script, he came at night because this angel was stopping him on heaven, and he came late. He's supposed to come during the day, but he came at night because of this angel. So Gabriel was getting kind of upset because he was trying to come to earth. But he never had the chance. And then this angel said, "No, I really want to go to her. I really want to go. I need to talk to the big boss." So he went to God, and he said, "God, I know how much you love human beings. I know that. And I'm going to ask you, give me just one chance. Give me only one chance to go to her and talk to humans." And he said, "Why do you want to go to earth? This is not part of your job. Your job is to be here with me. You have to worship me." And he said, and God asked him, "Why you want to go to earth? Tell me one of the reasons." And the angel said, "I know how much you miss the relationship that you have with Adam and Eve. And I want to let them know how much you care about them. And I want to tell them. I want to say it loud, and I want them to hear it." And after he explained all these things, God said, "Okay, you really touched my heart. And I'm going to let you go to earth. But I'm going to use you to a really small job. You're going to far, far away on the land of Bethlehem. And you're going to find guys there that nobody cares about them. These are the shepherds. You're going to give the announcement. And if you pay attention to what we were reading, the scripture said it was an angel. It doesn't say it was Gabriel. That's why I made that play, because never said that was Gabriel. It just said it's an angel. For me, in my story, in my script, in my version, Obed's version, it was just that angel. And he said, but God said, "But this is the thing. Because you are a singer, I'm going to ask you just one little favor. Don't say a word to anyone. You are like an angel, a secret angel. Nobody will need to know that you are going to earth. So what I need you to go is tell them the announcement and get back as soon as possible. But do it quick. I don't want any singer knowing that you are going down there, because if they know, they're going to get upset. How come that you are going to earth?" And he said, "Yeah, I made it." And he came out of the court really excited, really happy, and kind of red because he's so excited. And all the angels start looking at him. And he's like, and everyone said, "What's going on? You look kind of weird today." He's trying to keep her inside, but he can't. And he starts to saying, "Well, I'm going to tell you a secret, but don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone about this." And they say, "Yeah, tell us, what is it?" The problem is that his closest relationship with it was not with only one or two angels. He just came to his closest friends. The Bible said that it was a multitude of angels that came with him. When the Bible says a multitude, it means that it's more than 5,000, more than 10,000. His closest circle was 1,000,000 angels. So he came to say, "Okay, I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell to the rest of the angels. Don't tell them. I'm going to earth." What? How come? And he explained them, and he tells them, and they say, "No, you know what? If you are going, we are going." And say, no, please, don't ask me to do that. No. At the end, the angel goes back to God and say, "I'm in trouble. You asked me not to say, but I did. Now the angels want to come to earth with me." And God at the end allowed them to go. And that's why you have this choir. When they came, when the Bible says that when this angel came, after he made the announcement, the Bible says a multitude of angels start singing. And I made this play because I noticed something. And listen, there is the only concert from heaven that you can see on the Bible that happened here on earth. And the shepherds were the only ones who saw, right in front of their faces, a multitude of angels worshiping God, something that only happened on heaven. They saw it, and there's no other part of the Bible that talks about that kind of concert on earth. You see it always on heaven. People saw it. The prophet saw it. John saw it. But everything that they saw was on heavens. These shepherds were the only one who saw that on earth. Now, put yourself in these shoes, on the shepherd's shoes. Can you imagine right now that you can see right now a million of angels singing and worshiping God? How do you feel about it? That would be really scary. And let me share your story. When I was around 15, 16 years old, I think, when we were younger, actually, my dad always asked me to learn piano, to learn how to play piano. And I hate piano. I didn't like piano at all. It was like the worst thing that you can ask me to do. And he said, well, if you don't want to play piano, tell me another instrument that you feel like you would like to learn how to play. And I thought, well, something really expensive. My dad is not a rich guy, so I can ask for something really expensive that he won't get me, and that way I won't play. I say, okay, Dad, I want to play organ. And if you remember, that time we didn't have this kind of electric pianos. It was like two keyboards. I don't know if you remember. And they had like pedals, and you were doing like this. But what I like about that one is that it has so many buttons. And I knew that was really expensive. And I say, if you buy it, Dad, I'll learn. After a week, he bought it, and he was at home waiting for me, and I was really upset because I was trying to get away, but he got that instrument for me, so I had to learn. And then I was like this all the time, playing. And you know what? I got to the point that I really enjoyed playing the organ. It was like so excited. I remember my house in that time has two levels, and when I was around 15, 16 years old, I was so good for it. I was like, I really enjoyed it. So I played drums at the same time. I played everything. And I remember one day I was playing the organ, and I loved to play worship music. My mom was upstairs in her room, and I was downstairs playing. And I remember, I won't ever forget this, because I remember as I was playing, I was worshiping, and as I was worshiping, suddenly I started hearing sounds that were not coming from the keyboard. And I started like, where is that sound coming from? And suddenly, I started to take my hands out of the piano, playing less and less, and the sound keeps going. And I realized suddenly, it was not a sound. It was voices. And I got really scared. I stopped playing, and the voices keep going. And I thought, well, this is crazy. I'm getting crazy here. I'm crazy. There's something wrong with me. And suddenly, I heard my mom upstairs says, Obed. And I said, what? She said, who's singing down there? Believe me, I was shocked. But after she said that, she still remembered this story. Both of us were shaking. She was there, and I was sitting there listening to these voices. And I never had that experience before and or after hearing these voices singing and worshiping God. This is the very first time in my life. And believe me, that changed my life because for the first time I hear angels singing to God. Do you believe it? Because you know what? As we were worshiping this morning, we have no idea how they come and they join us. And they are walking through us. And what we saw in the shepherds, that happens every Sunday or when you are at home, when no one is around, and they see that you worship God, they start worshiping. If they get excited because they know who they are worshiping. And because of that, that changed your world completely. Yes. Let me put it this way. Pastor Christine was saying that that we went to Costa Rica and we saw miracles this year. And Pastor Randy said the same about this. And let me tell you, this year I have seen more miracles through my life than never before in my life. This year I think I lost track of how many miracles I saw in 2016. And even in my life, I saw many miracles. But I remember before going to Costa Rica, probably you heard that now that I heard the testimony about this car accident, I went through that. I remember when we had this accident, we went like downhill, like 150 meters down. But as we were falling down, I saw angels protecting us. The guy who was driving that car, he said that he thought that I was dead because he was talking to me and I didn't respond. He was crying after the accident, probably for 2 hours. He was not able to stop crying. And I say, "Why you are crying?" He said, "Pastor, because I'm pretty sure you were dead." And I felt so responsible. And I felt that. And every time that I think about that, I felt bad. But you know what? As he was fighting with this, I had the greatest experience of my life. How I saw the car have been protected by angels with their wings covering the car. And I can tell you, I'm alive. And maybe I thought, well, maybe I was dead. But when you have angels around you, they are protecting you. And they are giving you the opportunity even to live another day. And you don't realize how much they care about you. And let me tell you this, as I have seen so many miracles this year, I can tell you, this year has been the worst year for me about my health as never before in my life. I always went to hospital to visit people. This time, I went to the hospital 6 times already, and it was because I was sick. As soon as my wife went to Mexico, I got sick as never before in my life. I was dizzy all this time. I felt like I was going to die. I felt really bad. And I was in this position, like feeling like not even willing to do nothing. I remember it was morning, like a month ago, that I woke up. And as soon as I stand up, I was so dizzy, not able to hold myself. And I do something for a minute, and I went to bed like half hour, rest for a little bit. I stand, and again dizzy. And then I went back to my bed. And I was not able to do anything. And in that moment, I say, "God, why am I going through this?" And he told me something that changed my heart. He said, "No matter what happens, I want to stop you." Because I was not able to work. I was not able to do nothing. I was just staying at home for almost a month. And God said, "I don't want you to do nothing. And don't let any pain, any distraction in your body, because I want to talk to you." And I say, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Talk to me." I remember that was when Pastor Sam started the series about the churches, 7 churches. And I think 2 years ago, I read this part about the 7 churches for the first time, like paying attention to that. And I remember if you check on Revelation chapter 1, it talks about Jesus is standing on the beside this candle stands. It says that there are 7 of them around him, and he's holding in his hand 7 stars that are the 7 angels sent to the churches. And I always have this image of like that the stands for me. I always saw, you have seen on the Bible, I mean, on the description of the tabernacle, there was one on the tabernacle, remember? It had 7 arms. And I always, in my mind, I have Jesus walking around these 7 stands. Walking around. in that seven messages that you heard there in chapter 1, 2, and 3, he talks about how Jesus approached the church. And I saw this stance all these years. And for me, it's like, oh, I love this description because I saw, I always close my eyes, and I saw the seven stands there. And Jesus walking through and looking at this stance. When Pastor Sam started to preach about these ones, I got really excited. And it came to my mind, this image, all the time. And when I was sick, I was planning to come on Sundays because I want to hurt. And because I was so sick, I was not able to come some Sundays. So I missed. And I was like kind of upset at the same time because I said, well, I want to be there. This is one of my, in my heart, is one of my favorite topics. So I was really excited. And when I was dealing with this sickness, I was at home one night. And I was reading again the messages to the churches. And I saw Jesus again walking through. And I don't know how that happens, but I fell to sleep one night. And when you read in chapter 4, God said to John, come up here, and I'll show you the things that will come after this. But what it really touched my heart that night was that God said that to John and said, come up here. And the second thing that it really touched my heart is that says, I'm going to show you the things after this. And because in my heart was, what the Bible means about after this? After the messages? Yes, that's what it is. But after this, what's the real meaning about after this? Because when you read the book of Revelation, it talks about things that are in the future but are in the past too. So how can come these things together? Well, let me put it this way. That night, I fell to sleep, and God told me, come up here, because I want to show you something. And he told me, I want to show you the stance that you always want to see. And in my heart, in my mind, I told you, I have these images with a gold stance. But this is something that is going to change your life. Because when he told me that, I was in an area that was everything so bright. And I saw like huge, like kind of trees. They looked like trees, but they were not trees. And I saw Jesus walking around these trees. And he said, I'm going to show you the stands. And I saw one of the stands. And it looked like branches. But each one of the branches, because these messages are for the churches. And I realized that each one of these branches has small branches too. And from these little branches, there are more branches coming out. Smaller, but you see these branches coming from all these trees. I was pretty sure they were not trees. But God told me, each one of these trees that look like trees, it's each one of the churches on earth. Cloverdale Church is like a tree on heaven. And when I was reading on the past, I always thought, like I told you, that they were made with gold. But I realized that every single church that has different sizes, different number of arms, or branches. And I realized that each one of us, you there, you are a special branch in this tree. You are there. And your spot, nobody else can take. That's you there. Now, the second part of this, it really touched my heart because when I was really sick, that was his purpose, to show me these branches. And if you read the scripture, when he talks about each one of the churches, some of them says, for example, you think you're poor, but you are rich. In some other cases, say, you think you're rich, but you are poor. And it talks to each one of the branches there. And let me tell you, I saw one of the branches were like huge and nice with nice colors. Some of them were like kind of dry. And have you noticed that there are trees that have really nice branches, but some of them are kind of dry? That's exactly how the church is. Some of our branches are going nice, but some others are getting dry. And God showed me that each one of these candle holders has their own light. Remember, there is a part that says, I want you cold or hot, but I don't want you warm. And I always in my mind, how looks like a person that is warm? When he say want you cold, means with no light at all. No light. Hot. What is the meaning of hot? I never realized. Listen. Really hot means that your light could be shining stronger than the tree by itself. Your light, it might be shining in the entire city. Only you. Only you. Because your light is so bright, because you are flowing with God. And I'll show you how that works later. But he said, I don't want you warm. And I always ask, God, what is a warm person? And let me tell you, these lights represent, according to what I saw in this dream, he showed me that this is warm. There is light, but it's not enough to light an entire room. Even you can pass your fingers through. You can feel that it's warm. I can feel it. And what God was telling me with this is that he wants me to be awake and know that he is moving through my life every single day. And he told me, I want to show you this because I want to ask you a question. And I start crying after he asked me this. He said, Obed, you want to see your light? Because I want to show it to you. And you know what? I was so afraid. I was so afraid. And I said, God, I'm so afraid. Because I don't want to be warm. I don't want to be warm. He said, but I want to show it to you. And I said, no. I'm scared. I was so afraid to find myself on a tree, maybe like a dry branch. And he said, are you sure you don't want to see it? And you know what? I came this morning and God told me, tell them, ask them, you want to see your light? You want to see how strong is your light? Because some of you think that you are poor and you will be impressed that you are so rich and your light is so big. And some of us are thinking that we have a huge light and you will be impressed that your light is like that. But he don't use that to condemn you. He talks to the churches because he wants you to grow and to put oil in your lamp, and you start shining and get it stronger and stronger in your light. Because there are very simple ways that you can go through this and get your light brighter and bigger. And that's what he wants at the end. The shepherds, when they saw this angel singing, when we were reading this scripture, said that after that, they came back worshiping and praising God. You know why? Because they have this encounter with the heavenly places. And let me tell you, he's calling us in this time not to see Christmas as just a season. He wants to fill our hearts with joy because we have this relationship. And now that we are in Christmas time, we can become the light of the world. He is not going to be the light because he wants us to be the light of the world everywhere that he goes. And this is the time, this is the season that we have to be ready to show the light to the world. They are waiting for us. us, and then we want his light to be bright everywhere, in every single city that we go. Yes. And if we are ready for that, let me tell you, that the air will be filled with his glory as never before. There are very, very simple ways that we can touch the world. I'm going to give you an example.
I don't know how many want to help me, but this is my wallet.
And I have $20 in here. These are mine. Well, actually, were mine. Because let me tell you this. I put $20 and I decide that this is for somebody that is not about if the person needs it. It's about that I'm carrying something that even that I work for this $20, I already gave it away. I'm just waiting to see and God show me somebody that he will put in my heart just to give it. Not because they need it. It's because in my heart, I want to be a light. In my arms right now, there is a hug already. I want to hug somebody. I want to touch somebody. And that hug will touch the life of somebody. My arms are ready. My mouth is ready with a prayer for somebody. I'm not waiting that somebody is sick. I already declare if today I found somebody that is sick, God, I declare right now, I don't even know that person. I don't know if it's going to be on my way. But as soon as I found it, I'm going to pray for that person and I will see that healing because I already declared that. As I have these $20 that I'm carrying that are not mine, but I already gave it away. If I had to pay for McDonald's, I'm not going to use these $20 because they are not mine at all. But my heart is ready because I'm a light that I don't want to keep it just in case I need it. I'm going to pray for somebody if that happens. No, I already did it. And that brags my light bigger and bigger and bigger everywhere that I go. So I don't have the chance to gossip. I don't have the chance to talk about somebody else because my heart is ready to give. And this is the time, believe me. Now when you have Christmas dinner in a few days ahead, be ready because your family are waiting for that light. Before my wife went to Mexico, she said something. I want to go to hospitals. I want to go to hospital and visit people there. And as soon as she got to Mexico, he spoke with somebody there and said, can you give me the chance to go to a hospital? And don't tell anyone. Actually, he asked me not to say anything. I'm like the angel. I just realized that. I'm telling you, now you know. But she said, I'm not going to say anyone because this is not about promoting myself. I want to spend time with people, the people that are at the hospitals. And you know what? She has been in the hospital once a week since she went to Mexico. Sometimes she doesn't pray for them. She just hugged them. There was a lady dying with cancer. And this lady said, I don't know why you're here, but let me tell you, the presence, your presence here changed everything. Wow. She has seen miracles, but you know what? When you are ready, not because God will use you. No, God is using me right now. No matter that I'm not praying right now, because I already gave away things from my heart, and they are already given. When I give my life away, then I'm a light. And because of that, I'm full of joy. Because it's not about what people give or they don't give me. It's about how much I give. And that brings joy to my life. You want to bring joy to your life right now? Get ready to give everything that is within you, no matter what it is. Even some people, they don't need your money. They need your love, your passion, that you care about them. Make a phone call that somebody is waiting for you. Make that phone call. Go to some places that they need you, or probably your neighbor. Because I said, Lord, what kind of church you are building? And he said, no, it's not me. It's you guys. You are building my church. I would love to see a candle, a stand that is bright in Cloverdale Church. God wants to see it more than a Christmas tree with light everywhere. And let me tell you, you know why I'm in this church? Because I remember last year, last December, remember that we got an offering? And because of that offering, that land was changed. You didn't know the people down there. You didn't know who they were, but you were planting a seed. I gave the money away, and I didn't know what was going to happen. But now that Pastor Sam went with me with some miracles, because it was not about them. It was about us being a light. Yeah. And let me tell you, this is a prophecy that I want to give you. If 2016 was great, 2017 is waiting for us. And God says, don't ask me. I gave you already. Don't ask me for healing, because sometimes I use your sickness. Listen. To put you away in order to show you my presence. If I show you my presence, you will have the power to overcome any sickness. That's how it's happening with me. I was so sick and thinking, God, when are you going to heal me? And he told me, it's not about your healing. It's about your communion with me. Don't let sickness to distract you to have communion with me. If you have communion, I will heal you. Now let me tell you, I have been completely restored. And I never asked for healing. He healed me because he loved me, because I spent time with him. So sometimes we get so distracted with material things. With God, heal me. Give me money. Give me this. Give me that. No. He said, I want to give you my presence because I want your fire, your light, to be brighter as the light that was on the tabernacle. Can we have the piano? Can I ask you something? If God comes to you today and say, can I show you your light? Can I show you your candlestick? Will you be brave enough to say, okay, Lord, show me who I am? Because I want to grow. I want to increase my light. Let me tell you, joy, it's on the way. Peace, it's on the way. But not because he will send it. It's because you release his power through you. You release that power through your life, through your actions. And let me finish with this. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I feel really strong in my heart that he wants to pour out his spirit on you according to the willingness that you have to serve him. He won't do it just because he loves you. He will pour it because you start doing actions. Actions. And let me, before you close your eyes, look at me for a moment. Look at me. I felt really strong in my heart, and I never felt this as this time. There are so many people here in this church right now that they need your hugs. Some of them need your phone calls. Some of them, they just need to hear, I'm praying for you. If we start sharing that, the love of God, you will be used by God. And then when people need peace, you will pray for peace. And you might say, well, I'm the first one needing peace. And God will tell you, yeah, that's why I'm asking for you, pray for somebody to release peace. Because as I release peace through you, the peace that you need will flow first in you. And you will give from what I give you. That's why God is healing me. Because when I pray for somebody, he heals me first. Are you getting this picture? Sometimes we're asking him, give us. And he's saying, yes, I'll give you. But you have to be the one, the first giving. because I flow through you. I'll give you because there's a river. When you take water and you just leave it in one place, that water will be not good for so long. But when flows, that water will be fresh all the time. Sometimes we're asking, God, heal me. Yeah, because I want to keep it for me. I want to be healed because I want to have my parties. I want to have everything nice for me. That's why God doesn't flow through us. Just close your eyes for a moment now. And I'm going to put it this way. You're willing. I'm not going to pray for anyone. But if you want to come up front and say, Lord, turn my light on. I'm desperate. I'm tired. God wants to show you today how your light is in front of Him. And you will be surprised. Because let me tell you, He will show you again. I will say it again. Not because He wants to condemn you. He wants to improve you. Some of us, maybe you might feel right now, and that will be really good if you do it, just come on your knees and say, Lord, where you are, you don't need to come up front. But I want you to spend just a few minutes. I don't want to take long for this. But the light that is coming upon you, God wants to increase it. So maybe you might feel happy with what you have as a Christian life, but He said, no, I want you to improve. No matter how good you're doing. Some of you, you feel, and you know what? Be honest with God right now. You might say right now, God, I don't feel that passion anymore. I don't feel that power anymore flowing through me. Whatever you feel, you might say, well, I don't even feel like praying. I haven't been praying lately. I don't have a relationship with you lately, actually. I don't talk to you. I just come to church, but I'm doing nothing. You know what? He wants to be that you are honest with Him. And He's not going to get upset with you. He will heal your heart. He will heal every single thought that comes to your mind. Father, we come to your presence. Some of us, as a candle stands, you are gold. You are made of gold. But He wants to clean your gold. He's cleaning right now. He's passing your hands through you as a candle stand. And He's cleaning you. You might feel that you're worthy or nothing, that you have done so many mistakes. He say, that's okay. I will improve your life. Father, we thank you because you are the one who made us with a purpose. You have a plan for us. You have a plan for each one of our hearts. You have a future for all of us. And Father, we want to be as the shepherds. As we come to your presence and we saw and we can see mighty things. Father, as we see these things, our heart is filled with joy, with peace. You know our needs. You know our hearts. You know our desires. Father, we want to be the light shining. Father, increase that light in our hearts. Increase the light right now. Can you stand with me for a moment? Can you raise your hands to heaven? And as we are standing, raising our hands, I want you to see a picture of all of us together and how God increased our light because we are willing to serve Him, to be a river of His presence. Father, we pray that you increase that fire, that light, that oil in our hearts. Father, increase our passion for you. We don't want to be warm. We want to be hot in your presence. Let me ask you this. He wants to be right with you right now. And He wants to touch you. And just close your eyes. Don't let your mind get distracted. But let Him just to touch your face. He's smiling at you. He wants to hug you. He wants to bless you. But He wants to act as a dad or as a mom to you. As a brother, as a friend. He's hugging you. He wants, as He hugs you, He's increasing His presence in you. As soon as He touches you, He's increasing His presence in you. Just by that touch. And as you are standing in front of Him, I'm going to ask you, do the same. Hug Him. Tell Him something. Speak from your heart. You don't need to be loud. But move your lips. Say something to Him. It can be a whisper only, but say something to Him. He wants to hear it from you, not from your heart. He wants to use your lips. He always asks us to make declarations. And the greatest declaration is the things that you say to Him. Tell Him, you are my passion. You are the reason of my life. I want to live for you. Get in love with Him again. Get in love with Him. He's smiling at you. He's smiling at you. And listen, He wants to say your name. Now listen how He says your name and feel how He says your name with love. Listen your name with love. Say this has to be like a river that flows. And let me take again this $20 because this is the thing. If you have $20 and you feel like giving to somebody, it's not about if the person needs it. It's not about that. Don't worry about if the person needs it. You might give it to somebody that is rich already. It's not about that person. It's about you. But I'm not asking for your money. What I want to ask you is just turn around and share that love to somebody. Before we finish, I will ask you, I want to ask you, I love how Pastor Randy every morning comes and hugs to each one of us. But you know what? We are the body of Christ. Hug somebody and show that you are flowing with that presence of God through your hands. And believe me, when you touch somebody, it's not only your hands, it's God's hands touching somebody. And you want to do it with 1, 2, 3 people around you, that's okay. you can share the love of God. That's something that we need to do too as church, that we care about each other because we are His body. We are His church. So just turn around and do that. And if God put the extra, just do it now. But it's up to you. You don't have to. Just do whatever it's in your heart. God bless you, all of you. It has been a pleasure to be here with you.